It's time to wrap up week 7. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today postgame here on CBSSports.com. I'm filling in for Aaron Cerrone. I'm Adam Azer. Nobody's filling in for these Iron Men. You guys never miss a show. Busy men.
You ever miss a show?
We've probably missed a show. I don't know. Has there been any weddings on your calendar?
Perfect attendance for you guys this year.
That's right. Perfect attendance.
Very impressive. Yes. Well, welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome you to host.
I'm very happy to be here. Talk about all the games that we saw today and what to make of it. And, of course, look at the fantasy leaders. Let's get right to that. Russell Wilson, huge game, over 400 total yards and 40 fantasy points. You're looking at standard scoring here, but a lot of quarterbacks, obviously. How about the two guys in that Dallas Giants game? We got what we used to get from Eli and Romo when they hooked up.
It was nice to see Eli Manning bounce back. You know, obviously Russell Wilson had the situation with trading Percy Harvin and seeing how that offense would go. And we're obviously going to talk about Doug Baldwin as we get into that game. But you mentioned it, Adam, with Eli Manning, clearly that was a disappointment. They lose Victor Cruz. He comes back. He plays well. And if not for a couple of Larry Donnell fumbles, maybe he would have had a few more yards. Maybe he would have gotten to the 30-point mark.
Yep.
Dave, what stands out to you here?
He was 2 yards shy of getting to 29 fantasy points. What stands out to me on this list? Golden Tate showing up there. He seems to be getting better and better. And really, it happened late for Detroit in their game. They really struggled for, honestly, like three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford really got going. Tate had some big plays. Of course, they won it on a Stafford touchdown pass at the end.
Ryan Tannehill now, second time in his career with three consecutive 20-point performances, and he gets Jacksonville next week.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a quarterback to help replace Eli Manning or help replace Colin Kaepernick.
Yep, he's terrific.
Ryan Tannehill.
When do we start taking Jacksonville's defense a little more seriously, though? Look, Tate, they stifled him.
I get that, and that's a fair point, but you also have to look at the way the quarterback is playing, too.
Oh, he's playing well.
He's been playing well, and he overcame some serious adversity early in that game. First play of the game, sacked, four sacks in the first half, none in the second half. He really did a great job.
How about the injuries in Week 7? Bills fans, you get a very emotional win. You get injuries to both your backs, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. So we got Richardson, Pierre Thomas, James Starks, Vontaze Burfict, and Arakpo. Of the five running backs listed here, who are the ones we have to be really concerned about?
Well, it's the Bills. I mean, you know, you look at it, we thought, okay, maybe this is the time for C.J. Spiller. What a beautiful run, and then breaks his collarbone. So clearly he's going to be lost for a while, if not the season. And now Bryce Brown. Doug Marrone said after the game he's not going to be afraid to go to Bryce Brown, who has been inactive for every game, healthy scratch for every game this year. So he's going to be one of the most popular, if not the most popular players picked up off waivers this week.
Well, Anthony Dixon will also be in the mix. I don't think they're going to hand it all off to Bryce Brown, and Dixon's the one who played in the second half this week, just a big physical back. But you'll see a mix between the two, probably similar to Jackson and Spiller, although I'm not sure if Dixon's going to be their passing downs guy or their two-minute guy like Fred Jackson was. He probably will because he has more experience.
I don't know. I think they're going to give Bryce Brown a hefty workload.
I mean, it depends on how he does in practice and how he does in the game. I'm sure it's going to be a very fluid situation. Bryce Brown would be the one I would
As the guy who sits on this set Sunday mornings, Pete Prisco likes to say airbacks have done very well against the Jets, as we've seen the last 3 weeks, Shane Vereen, and that's who the Bills get next week.
How about Travaris Cadet? If Pierre Thomas is out any length of time, are you interested in him?
I would be interested in him. Another good game for him, a lot of catches, and that's something that has always helped out Drew Brees' numbers, is having that running back add a lot of receiving yards. That pads his passing yards, and so Cadet would be pretty righteous for fantasy owners in PPR leagues.
Six catches, 51 yards for Cadet. Guys, give me a waiver wire target. We'll just tease it now. We'll talk more about it a little bit later. But, Dave, give me one guy you're looking at.
Numero uno has to be Trey Mason of the St. Louis Rams. And the way that he was able to cut right through the Seahawks in the first quarter of their game. He scored a touchdown, had over 40 yards rushing, had another 40 yards or so rushing throughout the rest of the game. Really good effort from him. And against Kansas City next week, I like his chances.
I'll take Bryce Brown over Mason, but I'll take Odell Beckham at the receiver spot because first game without Victor Cruz, two touchdowns.
Yep, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But right now, a reminder not to let injuries or roster duds ruin fantasy for you. Play the ultimate simulation game, Franchise Football. Go to cbssports.com/franchise to start your team right now. When we come back, we'll start breaking down St. Louis, Seattle, Baltimore, Atlanta, and plenty more here on Fantasy Football Today postgame on cbssports.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today on CBSSports.com.
Trey Mason's ownership percentage 18. He's 18% owned. That's going up this week. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today postgame presented by State Farm. Let's break it down. St. Louis 28, Seattle 26. The Seahawks are 3-3. But more pressing issues here for fantasy owners. Trey Mason is obviously a waiver wire priority. Let's just have the debate now before we even get into the Bills game. Jamie says he'd rather have Bryce Brown over Trey Mason. Dave, you're prioritizing the what looks to be like the Rams' lead back, because he had almost all the carries.
Yes, and he was also the rushing downs guy. We saw Benny Cunningham. He had five catches in the game. One was on the fake punt, and another one was on a shovel pass at the goal line. I think Mason's their best running back right now, and I think Jeff Fisher would agree with that. The schedule is tough for him coming up. They start a three-game road trip, not really away from St. Louis for 3 weeks, but three games on the road. Kansas City, San Francisco, and Arizona, I believe, are their next three games. So it's a tough schedule for him. But I think after that, things get a little bit easier for him, save for the matchup at Seattle. But Trey Mason, to me, looks like the best back in St. Louis.
I would agree. But I also think, like you said, the schedule's there. There are still other mouths to feed because they are going to give Benny Cunningham work. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Anthony Dixon, to be honest with you. I think they're going to give Bryce Brown a heavy workload. This is still going to be a run-first team for Buffalo. And I think the schedule is much more in their favor. So you look at the way Bryce Brown has played when given an opportunity in the past. Two great games in Philadelphia 2 years ago when LeSean McCoy got hurt. Two very bad games. But I think in this offense, a run first, still a run. They're both run offenses, let's put it that way. But I think Buffalo's going to have the opportunity to run the ball a little bit better than St. Louis. So Trey Mason's very good. Should be added across the board. If I have the choice, I'm going to take Bryce Brown.
Does it matter how significant Fred Jackson is?
That's the asterisk. If Fred Jackson's not out for a long period of time.
Okay. Is Zach Stacy droppable?
Yes.
Yeah, he has to be. And by the way, you might be able to get both Mason and Bryce Brown.
It's going to be hard to cycle through waivers and get both.
Yeah, but Mason first and then Bryce Brown second. You might be able to get both of them.
Is Brian Quick droppable?
Yes.
I hate to say yes to that. I really want to give him another chance. But again, another week with only two targets against Seattle. And it's not like Richard Sherman followed him around. Sherman stayed on his side of the field. He did well when he had the targets, but again, only two. It's kind of a problem.
Would you drop Ryan Quick for Doug Baldwin, who had seven catches for 123 yards and a touchdown?
Yeah, and I think anytime you see a matchup for the Seahawks where they go up against a team that's bad against the pass, you'll see Doug Baldwin have a game like this.
I think it's just any time period because there's nobody else there.
Right. I'll play devil's advocate and say it's not like Percy Harvin had a bunch of receiving yards that they're replacing anyway. I think he had like 120.
But he led them in targets, though, and this is the guy that was second in targets.
And this is Russell Wilson's big passing game. He usually doesn't throw for 300 yards. So just devil's advocate to maybe reel in expectations for Doug Baldwin.
But we did see Percy Harvin had, what, a seven-catch game in week one? There's going to be moments for them where they're going to throw. Their defense obviously is not as good.
So how good
they're not running
Baldwin's
as well as they
be?
Are. I think Baldwin is probably going to be in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 fantasy points on a given week.
All right, Baltimore, 29-7 winners over Atlanta. Is Matt Ryan droppable?
He was actually dropped in one of my 10-team leagues this week for Carson Palmer. Mm. So that just kind of shows you what people are thinking of at this point. And next week's really interesting because they're at home against Detroit.
Not really at home.
Oh, I'm sorry, London. Right. You're right.
Five sacks.
Five sacks and three straight games with one passing touchdown. Yeah, I think... Earlier this year, I thought that Tom Brady was droppable. I don't want to say that again with Matt Ryan, but I would start Ryan Tannehill ahead of Matt Ryan next week.
I'd start Kyle Orton ahead of him next week.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. Kyle Orton plays in the Jets.
Yeah.
He's played much better.
Yeah, and the Lions, for whatever it's worth, I know they gave up a big touchdown to Kenny Stills today, and Drew Brees had a good game. They still did a lot of good things defensively.
Any other thoughts from this game?
Well, I mean, you got Justin Forsett, who was 5 yards shy of a Benji. I would have liked to have seen him get that. We saw that Bernard Pierce.
I don't know that. I don't know what that means.
100.
Oh, a Benjamin.
Like a Benjamin.
It's called.
I'm one of the cool.
Call
kids,
it a Calvin
right?
Now.
Call it a no. See, you're not one of the cool.
A Benji.
Kids. Both of Flacco's interceptions in the end zone.
Should have had three.
Yeah, he should have had three, but the two that counted, both thrown into the end zone. So he was slinging it still.
Torrey Smith looks like he's back. You know, you're going to have a lot of inconsistent games still, but at least you know that he's going to be still somebody that can get you.
The old Torrey Smith.
Right.
Right.
And Roddy White, look, great game outdoors for him. Mm-hmm. This was a surprise. He was one of the bigger surprises for the Falcons.
Yeah. Huge surprise, I think, was Owen Daniels scoring against the Falcons, who have been so good.
Of course.
Against tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Torrey Smith was the target on one of the picks, and then Owen Daniels on the other. But both passes were really bad by far.
Keep an eye on Steve Smith's targets. They've been declining each of the last 3 weeks.
Buffalo 17, Minnesota 16, one of the most exciting games. Sammy Watkins with his second touchdown, the last one, winning the game for them late. So we talked about the Buffalo running back situation. How about the Minnesota running back situation with Jerick McKinnon? Probably available in some 10-team leagues, maybe random 12-team league here or there. 74% owned, 19 carries, 103 yards against what came into the game as a really good Buffalo run defense, Jamie.
Yeah, he may be our start of the week next week. They've played Tampa Bay. He's getting the work. You know, Mike Zimmer came out and said they're going to be still giving Matt Asiata work, which is fine. I don't know what his snap count was today or how many touches he had.
7 touches.
Okay, so still about the same work that he got last week.
Right.
So
McKinnon's their guy.
Yeah, of course. And I think you look at the talent there, it's a great situation. You know, if you've been sitting on Jerick McKinnon for a few weeks, I picked him up. The minute Adrian Peterson's situation happened, I passed on Matt Asiata. I picked up Jerick McKinnon in every league where I saw he was available, and I had an open roster spot. And I've just been sitting on him to this point. Started him in a couple leagues out of desperation this week, and next week he should be in everybody's lineup.
It's funny, I actually went for Asiata first, and then after like a game or two, people gave up on McKinnon. They weren't as patient as you were, and I was able to get McKinnon in a couple of leagues too, and now I can cut Asiata. I've got Jerick McKinnon the rest of the way. Cordarrelle Patterson, touchdown.
Bleh.
Yeah, whatever.
2 catches, 9 yards.
So up against the break here, guys. If McKinnon's available and Trey Mason's available and Bryce Brown is available.
McKinnon.
I haven't thought about it, but I really like what I've seen from Trey Mason.
Okay. Well, you'll have time to think about it, and we'll let everybody know on Tuesday when we do our waiver wire show. We'll take a break here on Fantasy Football Today postgame, but reminder to get the CBS Sports app for lightning fast scores and instant updates for today's games. It's got all the info you need to stay in the game anywhere you go. Download it now at cbssportsapp.com. Miami, Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, Green Bay, Carolina when we come back.
This is Fantasy Football Today on CBSSports.com.
Wrapping things up on Fantasy Football Today postgame presented by State Farm. Diving into the Dolphins and the Bears, 27-14 Miami with a road win. The Bears are 0-3 at home for the first time in 10 years. Ryan Tannehill, last three games, 24, 21, 27 fantasy points. I was not a math major, but that averages 24 per game. And that's pretty good. So who's buying into it?
You have to at this point.
I'm doing it.
My math, I mean.
You have to at this
point. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That was pretty good math. You don't have a calculator over there or
absolutely
anything?
Absolutely not.
You don't inherit.
And I didn't prepare before the show either. That was just off the top
That's
of my
good
head.
Math.
Thank you.
That great Miami education.
You know it.
Yeah. I wish I had gotten that good of an education at Miami. I spent too much time parting. Tannehill's look great. And not only has he been throwing the ball well and having multiple touchdowns, but he's also run for at least 35 yards each of the last 3 weeks. And now here comes Jacksonville. So I don't know if I want to commit to Ryan Tannehill for the rest of the season as my starting fantasy quarterback. But in the short term, if I want to go with somebody over Matt Ryan, if I need a bye week replacement, Tannehill's my guy.
Are Lamar Miller and Mike Wallace legit, or do you think they are sell-high candidates, Jamie?
What more do they need to do?
I'm just asking. I think they're legit. The only thing with Wallace is, he's a different Mike Wallace. He's not a deep threat right now. He's just catching touchdowns.
And very touchdown dependent. Very touchdown dependent.
Look, at some point, you just have to say, if he doesn't score, you understand that you're not going to get great numbers. But he's the go-to guy in this passing attack. Tannehill's obviously playing very well. The new offense works. Mm-hmm. And why not just consider him a solid number two guy week in, week out? I get it. It's not the Mike Wallace you thought you were getting. But
he's really been a number one guy. That's the thing.
But that's.
I don't know. Maybe you can get great value for him.
Maybe, but I don't know if anybody's going to buy that.
Right.
You know, I think you got to really have to sell maybe the Calvin Johnson or AJ Green owner with Wallace and somebody else to try and get one of those superstars in return. And in terms of Lamar Miller, you know, look, no Sean Moreno anymore. We knew it was going to be a good situation for him, and now he comes out and plays amazing against the Bears defense that had been pretty good against opposing running backs. So next week, again, Jacksonville, I know you're sold on this Jaguars defense as the second coming of the 85 Bears.
I just think it's interesting what's happening. It's 4 or 5 weeks in a row they've been a lot better than we expected, and they did the same thing last year, by the way. About halfway through the season, they started getting good against the run.
You sitting Lamar Miller next week?
I mean, the thing about Lamar Miller is you might have 2 or 3 really good running backs and Lamar Miller based on where you drafted him, so maybe I am sitting Lamar Miller. That's all. It's just like Ben Tate. You could have said last week, you're sitting Ben Tate, but if I had Brandon Oliver, Forsett...
I totally understand it, but you know, Ben Tate lost his center, and probably we didn't give that enough credit.
Maybe. All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, if Lamar Miller struggles against Jacksonville, can we start talking about Jacksonville?
85 Bears, yes.
Detroit, 24, and New Orleans, 23. Fun game, late Drew Brees interception. helped Detroit out quite a bit, and then a late Matthew Stafford touchdown. Jimmy Graham, 0 catches on 2 targets. Dave, did we learn a lesson about playing injured players?
No, not at all, because the next injured player that comes out and has a game when he's not 100% is going to do what Brandon Marshall did. And it's really just, it's one of the problems with fantasy football, and I've kind of learned over the years that it's just better to play it safe than sorry, which is why I had Jimmy Graham ranked 11th today instead of higher. And I wasn't sure how much he was going to play, how effective he'd be. I knew that he had a week off coming into the game. If he wasn't practicing all week and really a big part of the game plan, a full participant in practice, I'm saying, then how is he going to be able to go into this game against a good Detroit defense and contribute?
You know what the worst thing that happened to Jimmy Graham? Is that they got ahead early.
I don't know.
I think if they were chasing points, you probably would have seen him play a little bit.
Breeze attempted 45 passes.
But they were ahead. Why risk putting him out there if they're ahead?
He attempted 45 passes.
But they weren't blowing the doors off it. It was still a close game.
But again, why risk him if they weren't?
It seems to me like a Calvin Johnson decoy situation.
Maybe.
They put the thought in their head and they.
But he's not on the field.
I bet he didn't play
decoy?
That much.
Calvin
right.
was
they,
that
I mean, they still. I mean, you get the pregame report. Jimmy Graham is playing. That has to change something.
You think that Jim Caldwell and the Lions are?
I'm sure, they had two game plans.
They were glued to Jay Glazer's Twitter. I'm sure.
I don't. Oh, you don't think they know Jimmy Graham's playing?
Yeah, I know he's active, but I don't think they're going, wow, okay, one guy says 20%, Albert Breer says 40%, Jason Lockefora says 35%.
I don't think the score had anything to do with it. He got two targets.
I understand that. I'm just saying it could have been something in Sean Payton's head.
Are you guys disappointed that I'm hosting tonight? It's been a little contentious up here.
No? I don't think it's been contentious.
No. It's been fun. I'm having a good time. We're talking football. All right, how do you approach the New Orleans running backs going forward?
Your hair looks great.
Thank you. Thank you. From you. It means a lot.
I think it's, you know, it's going to be until you see these guys, you know, one guy step ahead of the other in terms of Ingram and Robinson, it's hard to trust them. So Ingram, I think, is still the better one to own. I'd have no problem dropping Kyrie Robinson at this point, and we'll find out what happens with Pierre Thomas if Travaris Cadet can continue to step up and play better.
Ingram had 10 carries, Robinson had 3, but Robinson had more yards. It's going to be a mess between these two. I guess Ingram is still going to be the lead guy just because he had more work today. They got Green Bay next week. That's going to be a fun game to think about and work on. I think they might get more opportunities next week.
Let's quickly end this game with this. Who's the most legit rest of season, Joique Bell, Marcus Colston, or Kenny Stills?
Joique Bell.
Bell.
Green Bay 38 and Carolina 17. Good news, bad news, I guess, with Cam Newton. The final output, only 16 fantasy points, but 41 rushing yards. If he gets that, you might get good games going forward, Dave. What do you think about Cam?
Yeah, you have to be encouraged by the 7 rushing attempts, the 41 yards, just like you said, but discouraged by the passing. This is the first game where he really hasn't looked good as a passer in a while. And he still had the touchdown to Kelvin Benjamin. That helped his day, but he also had an interception. You know, I still think that Cam Newton is somebody that you can think about using, but next week I might hesitate a little bit against Seattle.
He gets an easy defense next week in his building.
And Jamie, we've got Green Bay running back situation. Both guys did well. Starks is a little dinged up right now. What do you think going forward, Lacy Starks?
Lacy's still, you know, you're going to be in your lineup. You know, the fact that he gets you a productive game is encouraging, and the fact that Starks is banged up, you know, I think is only going to help Lacy's cause. It maybe does get a little bit more work, but 12 carries is tough to look at.
Rest of season, Lacy or Lamar Miller?
Still Lacy.
It's Lacy, but it's really close between the two of them.
All right, we've got Indianapolis, Cincinnati, best run defense ever, and Cleveland and Washington, Tennessee after the break on Fantasy Football Today postgame. But don't let injuries and roster duds ruin fantasy for you. Play the ultimate simulation game, that's franchise football. Go to cbssports.com/franchise to start your team now, and we'll be right back.
This is Fantasy Football Today on cbssports.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today postgame presented by State Farm. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Dave Richard. Indianapolis smoked Cincinnati 27-0. And Dave, for the Bengals, nothing but fantasy disappointments.
Gio, 17 yards rushing, minus 1 yard receiving.
You that sound really not sad right now.
Well, I've got him in a couple of my leagues, so I am a little sad about Gio. And I thought that he'd do better. I thought he'd get more work than he did. So that's disappointing. Mohamed Sanu, a guy that had a monster game last week, thought he'd get a lot of targets this week. He had 9. Couldn't do anything with it against Indianapolis.
Good,
and that defense, they really made a huge statement today. They were in Andy Dalton's Kitchen all game long, a total of 4 sacks in the game, 3 on Dalton, 1 on Sanu on a trick play gone wrong. And yeah, just a good game from Indianapolis's defense to go right along with their offense that just keeps on going.
Is T.Y. Hilton a must start?
Yeah, of course. This is now 4 games in a row of at least 90 or more total yards. So he's playing great football. He's clearly the go-to guy in this offense in this passing game. Third-year breakout, if he wasn't, you know, considered a breakout last year, you know, with 1,000 yards receiving. But, yeah, Andrew Luck is dialed in right now to T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah,
and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
The proof of that is in the targets. I think he's been the leading target getter for almost all of either the lead or tied for all of Indianapolis's games.
Trent Richardson, good game, 14 for 77,
yeah.
4 for 41.
Hamstring, though.
Yeah, and Ahmad Bradshaw scored a rushing touchdown for the first time and a receiving touchdown for the 6th time. This offense, it's almost like the Broncos last year, where you can start 2 running backs.
Yeah.
They're just unstoppable. Is there anything to say about the Colts running backs? Do we have to wait and
no,
see?
No, you can see what's up with Richardson and what happens to him. I think there's something to be said about Reggie Wayne, though, who just hasn't really – he's had one great play this season. He had the 28-yard touchdown, I believe it was against Tennessee. And everything else he's done has been either okay or blah. And today was one of those blah days. And I wonder if they're going to use him a little bit more next week. It's a game against Pittsburgh, and that's a weak secondary and a weak defense in general. But at the same time, I just wonder if he's just kind of become an afterthought in this offense.
Jacksonville 24-6 winners over Cleveland to get their first win of the season. So all this talk about waiver wire guys to pick up with Bryce Brown, with Trey Mason, McKinnon if he's available in your leagues. Denard Robinson, huh? 22 carries, 127 yards and a touchdown. Where's he on this list?
He would be behind those other 3 guys, but I think you got to consider it, you know, especially in deeper leagues because he got the work. He's been, you know, in and out as terms of the starter. They're trying to get him going. And, you know, again, on our show this morning on Fantasy Football Today, Pete Prisco said the one thing that it didn't look like he was doing was actually, you know, trying to get contact, and he looked like he was ready to, you know, explode into contact today. So I think you look at it as it's still going to be hard to trust them because when Gerhardt comes back, they'll still work Gerhardt a little bit. Storm Johnson will get some work, Jordan Todman on third downs. So this is probably more of a not one-time thing, you know, hopefully not a one-hit wonder, but I just don't know how much you're ever going to trust Denard Robinson.
Yeah, I'm worried about him holding up too because he's not a big guy.
Dave, do you have concerns about the Cleveland running game without Alex Mack?
Yeah, I mean, it really showed up today. If you look at the rushing averages, Isaiah Crowell actually led them, among the running backs anyway, with 2.6 yards per carry. And Ben Tate had 2.3 yards per carry. Obviously, Tate had more than twice as many carries. But it was a mess. And not having Andrew Luck there, it's something that they're going to have to adjust and move forward with. And I don't know how much of that really can be put on the Jacksonville defense. I know they're playing better. I know the linebackers are running downhill a little bit more. But I don't know if we can really look at that offensive line the same way.
Let's look at Washington and Tennessee. 19-17, the final score. Washington gets the win. Both teams are 2-5. Bishop Sankey, would you drop him for those running backs we talked about? Would you drop him for Mason?
Sure.
I guess you have to.
Bryce Brown?
Sure.
How about Denard Robinson?
No.
To me, they're the same guy. You're just waiting around for one of them to pop. And we've seen Sankey now. This is 3 weeks where he's had opportunities. The last 2 have been more than 2 weeks ago, but I don't see him doing anything great. I really hate that I'm seeing it, and I hate that I'm saying that, but that's where we're at.
Kendall Wright, third-year receiver, entered the season with 6 touchdowns. He's got 4 this year. Another good game, but last week he was terrible. How do you approach Kendall Wright?
That's what he is. You know, I think if you're looking at bye weeks, you know, next week we're losing Odell Beckham, we're losing Reuben Randall, we're losing Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin. You know, if you need somebody to replace them, especially in PPR leagues, he's okay. And Justin Hunter is going to be the same thing. You got one good game every 3 or 4 weeks, and you'll say, okay, now it's time to start him. This is a great matchup, and he did nothing. So it's just hard to say that they're going to be consistent.
Dave, that
may change if Jake Locker's in there for a stretch.
Dave, impact of Kirk Cousins being benched and now Colt McCoy taking over for Washington.
Luckiest guy in the world on that pass to Pierre Garçon, who escaped a tackle, and then the safety for Tennessee took a bad angle, and he managed to get all the way to the end zone for a very long touchdown. McCoy didn't have a lot to do with that, but McCoy did complete 11 of 12 passes, had a decent game. I just don't know how much of a deep ball passer he's going to be, and that could hurt DeSean Jackson. And furthermore, I think defenses are going to look at Colt McCoy and they're going to go, ha, 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 it's Colt McCoy. And they're going to load the box to slow down Alfred Morris. And I think Alf could be in some real trouble. 3 straight games now where he hasn't gotten anything done. He's been a – I can't say it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
He has not been a superstar.
We've got more games to talk about when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. The afternoon games, Kansas City, San Diego, Dallas, New York, and Arizona, Oakland. But get the CBS Sports app for lightning fast scores and instant updates for today's games. It's got all the info you need to stay in the game anywhere you go. Download it now, cbssportsapp.com. Coming right back on Fantasy Football Today postgame presented by State Farm.
This is Fantasy Football Today on cbssports.com.
A big win for the Chiefs, 23-20 over San Diego. We welcome you back to Fantasy Football Today postgame here, presented by State Farm. And Kansas City had the ball for 39 minutes, San Diego for 21 minutes. That's an important thing to look at when you break down the box score. But, Dave, how about we talk about the Chargers wide receivers and Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Eddie Royal, all pretty disappointing. I guess you look at the targets and you say 10 for Allen, that's good. What do you think about these guys?
We were waiting for Keenan Allen to get a lot of targets, and the last time he had this many targets, he put together a great game against the Bills. 10 targets, 6 catches, and again, not more than 10 yards per catch, and that's kind of what he is. And, you know, a lot of people were frustrated with Keenan Allen coming into this week, and they benched him, and it seems like it was the right call.
Brandon Oliver, what is his role when Ryan Matthews comes back?
I think at worst-case scenario, he's Danny Woodhead. Best-case scenario, he's in a 50-50 split.
I think best case scenario, he's like 60-40. I don't know what really happened this week to dissuade them from him. I don't think he ran out of gas. I think he ran against a unit that was prepared for him. Still averaged over 4 yards
per
carry.
Yeah, the one thing, though, is that Ryan Matthews carried them into the playoffs last year. I don't know if they're going to forget that.
It depends on how his knee holds up.
It's totally contingent on
him. Sure, of course. And then it's a short week for them. I don't know if Matthews will be ready for the game at Denver on Thursday. And I don't know. I think Brandon Oliver could be pretty good again next week.
But that factors in time of possession, too.
The fact that he had 15 carries with as little time as they had the ball is actually a good thing.
Dallas 31, Giants 21. Looking at the Giants receivers here, Reuben Randle had 9 targets, and he's good for 9 or 10 targets, it seems. 6 catches, 74 yards. But Odell Beckham, 4 catches, 34 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and a somewhat confusing touchdown dance.
Can you do it?
It's just like he just kind of does this thing to this one side. It's almost like a dirty bird a little bit. And then he punches out. I don't know. I don't like it when you're down by 14 late, you score to make it 7.
I agree.
That's rookie move there. But he's 68% owned. Who's better the rest of season, Randle or Beckham?
It's a good question. I think I still take Randle just because of targets. They tried to get him the one, you know, corner fade route to Randle.
Yeah, they did. I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
I'm surprised you're so happy talking about this game.
Arizona 24. Oakland.
No.
We got more to talk about here.
Can I just say one thing on Beckham? Yeah. I like that he scored 2 short yardage touchdowns, not bombs. He didn't have a big 80-yard touchdown. So that just proves to me that he can work in a short to intermediate role.
The Larry Donnell touchdowns are going elsewhere now, it seems, right?
Larry Donnell's playing time may be going elsewhere.
Yeah, right.
2 fumbles.
Yep.
That's not good.
On the season. He had a good game. The Cowboys still can't defend tight ends, 90 yards.
But they can strip them of the football.
They can. They sure can. 28 points for Eli, 27 points for Tony Romo. Do you feel good about these guys' rest of season?
Romo, for sure. I mean, you know, next week it's a good matchup for him as well. He should have an opportunity to play great against, you know, Washington, which is still not a very good defense, and now they lose Arakpo. And so I think you look at Eli coming off their bye week in 2 weeks. We'll see how things, you know, shake out for him. He's going to be, I think, more of a number 2 quarterback than a number 1 guy. This is just a good opportunity for him to play well against an opponent that he does know well.
Dave, would you sell high on Terrence Williams? Kind of like what we were talking about with Mike Wallace. 6 touchdowns. He's even more extreme, I think. 6 touchdowns this year. And if that goes away, what do you have?
Well, I mean, he only had 1 catch today, and it was for a touchdown. We were lucky to have that. Yes, you should definitely try and sell high on Terrence Williams.
He scores in every home game, though. This is now 4 for 4.
He's 4 for 4.
Arizona 24 and Oakland 13. Michael Floyd, 3 catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 4 catches for 21 yards. Frustrating year for Fitzgerald owners.
It continues to be, and I thought last week with Palmer being back that would help Fitzgerald, you know, break out of this funk that he's been in. I still think he's okay to sit on your bench. You just don't have to start him on a week-to-week basis. And now Michael Floyd, 3 games with Carson Palmer, 3 games with double digits in fantasy points. So that's something I look at that's going to be probably pretty consistent.
What do you think about Andre Holmes right now? Disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing, and, you know, it's bound to happen. You figure all the factors, the fact that Holmes just isn't an established, reliable receiver. And the rookie quarterback, who was 16 of 28 passing, didn't have a lot of pass attempts in the game. It's bound to happen, but I'm not losing faith in Andre Holmes. I might not start him next week, but I'm happy to have him on my team.
So right now, would you rather have Andre Holmes or Brian Quick?
Holmes.
Holmes.
Would you rather have Andre Holmes or Larry Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
You could talk me into Holmes on that one.
Holmes or Harvin?
Holmes.
Wow.
I want to see what they do with Harvin, because I think Harvin's arrows gets pointed up a little bit now because of a team that will actually be forced to use him after making the trade to get him.
Well, don't let injuries and roster duds like Larry Fitzgerald ruin your fantasy season. Play the ultimate. I said it again?
Yeah, you did.
Say it every time.
I've been doing better.
He's much better this morning.
Play the ultimate simulation game, Franchise Football. A lot of fun. Go to cbssports.com/franchise to start your team now. Waiver wire targets, that's what you want to know about. We'll tell you who to look for on Tuesday night. Of course, we'll have another show later in the week, or really early next week, to talk about that. But let's get a sneak peek. We'll do that when we come back on Fantasy Football Today postgame.
This is Fantasy Football Today on CBSSports.com.
So we're done recapping games. Now let's look at who to pick up in Fantasy Week 8. Welcome back. This is Fantasy Football Today postgame presented by State Farm. Here are your quarterback targets. Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill, averaging 24 points a game over his last three.
Ooh, that math.
RG3, Teddy Bridgewater, and Kyle Orton. Who's number one for you, Jamie?
Tannehill. Gets Jacksonville
next
week.
Who's number two?
Number two is interesting. I may speculate on RG3, just to see.
Dave, how you feeling here?
I'm in agreement with Jamie. I think that Ryan Tannehill is definitely the first guy you should go for. Alex Smith could be in the mix too, but really, against St. Louis, the way that defense showed up today, I'd be hesitant.
All right, let's look at running backs now. Darren McFadden scored a touchdown today. A bit surprising against Arizona. Jerick McKinnon. And then Isaiah Crowell, Bernard Pierce. And then we start to get the guys who are owned in less than half of our leagues. Jonathan Stewart, Storm Johnson, and Benny Cunningham. Who are your favorites?
Of this list, I think you got to look at McKinnon as the number one guy, just based on what he should be able to do against Tampa Bay next week, what he's done the last 2 weeks. Pretty much every time he's gotten a chance to touch the ball more than 10 or 15 times, he's going to produce at a pretty good clip. So he'd be my favorite.
And you don't know what's up with Ben Tate. I know that he was a little banged up in the game today. I think he'll be all right, and you'll still see a tandem with him and Isaiah Crowell moving forward.
They actually have a good opportunity to run the ball next week.
I agree. They've got Oakland at home. That should work out well for them. I think Crowell could potentially end up in my top 24 again next week.
Well, it's not limited to just this list of seven here. We have more running backs who are probably more attractive in many cases, like Trey Mason and Bryce Brown. We'll keep making the case for Joseph Randle. But, Jamie, sort out this list for us.
Well, again, it's all contingent on Fred Jackson, but I think it's going to be Bryce Brown, Trey Mason, 1 and 1A, however you want to look at them. It's totally up to you. They both should have the opportunity to be good for the foreseeable future. And then it comes down to how much you want to buy into Denard Robinson. But Stephon Taylor, look, he's going to continue to be a get goal line opportunities for the Cardinals. Score two touchdowns today. That's hard to overlook.
That's your TD-only league pickup.
And Travaris Cadet, we talked
PPR
about
PPR only pickup.
Yep.
If Pierre Thomas has any type of significant injury, you might want to look at Cadet. So wide receivers to add now. Odell Beckham caught two touchdowns today. Andrew Hawkins had a good game. Allen Robinson, Baldwin, Adams, Stills, Amendola, Curse, Fuller, Dave.
Beckham will be the first guy for me, followed by Baldwin. And I'd be happy to get either one of those guys. I still think Jermaine Curse can make plays, but he'll be inconsistent, and today was one of those days where he didn't make a big play. Almost had a two-point conversion for Seattle, but it didn't happen. Allen Robinson, it's going to be a guessing game with him and whether or not he scores and has a lot of yardage, but he hasn't had a game yet where there's been big yardage. He's a PPR receiver, just like Andrew Hawkins.
And now let's take a look at tight ends to target, as Owen Daniels caught a touchdown against a team that was very, very good against tight ends, Atlanta. Charles Clay caught his first touchdown of the year, and then we have Cumberland, Gavin Escobar, who caught two, Cooper Helfitt, who I had not heard of before today, and Daniel Fells, who basically only catches touchdowns. It's not a great list here. Is Owen Daniels far and away the cream of the crop here?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's going to be people that drop, you know, some tight ends, and Kobe Fleener's probably going to be available on waivers too. You can look at him. The one thing about Daniels is think about week one when the Ravens and the Bengals played each other. Flacco threw the ball 60-plus times in that game, and Dennis Pitta had 15 targets in that game. And that could be an opportunity where, as we've just seen, where Dwayne Allen scored a touchdown against the Bengals, that maybe we get another good game from Owen Daniels.
I'm curious to see what the playing time was for Helfitt in the game against St. Louis.
Hell if I know. Helfitt if I know.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm going to fake laugh. because that's the kind of guy I am.
You're nice.
I don't know if you.
I just like that he just straight out said, "Hell if I know." He didn't try and make
we're
a.
We're all thinking it. It's now time to check out players who weren't themselves today, and some satisfying players presented by Snickers, who reminds us that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. So we each have a satisfying player. We each have players who disappointed us who were not themselves today. I'm going with Trey Mason, and what was most satisfying was that he got almost all of the carries. Benny Cunningham had 2 carries. I think Tavon Austin had 5, but the running backs, it was mostly Mason, and early round pick, studded Auburn, did it against Seattle, who's been really good against every non-DeMarco Murray running back, so I'm encouraged, guys, by Trey Mason.
As you should be.
Jamie, for you, it was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Percy who? You know, you look at him come out in that same game where they needed him to be a superstar to keep them in the game and bring them back, and he was. You know, he came out, he threw the ball well, 313 passing yards, 106 rushing yards, 3 total touchdowns. He's been an amazing fantasy quarterback in every game but one at home against Dallas, and I don't see that stopping next week in Carolina.
I also don't see Sammy Watkins' target slowing down next week against the Jets. Even though it's in New York, I think Watkins is the apple of Kirk Cousins' non-mustached eye.
Kyle Orton.
I said Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins doesn't have a mustache.
Yeah.
And neither does Kyle Orton anymore. Kyle Orton's eye. And I think that Sammy Watkins will continue to be quite a playmaker for Buffalo. This is the start of something big.
Players who were not themselves today. I'm going with Matt Ryan. I'm actually worried that he was himself today. 16, 14, and 13 fantasy points in his last 3 games and got sacked 5 times. Guys, will Matt Ryan's offensive line prevent him from being a good start more than a handful of times the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, look, next week, Detroit, you know, it's funny because it looked like he didn't have any time today whatsoever.
It'll look like that again.
Every time he took a 3-step drop, there were Ravens defenders in his face, and that defensive line for the Lions is going to, you know, probably eat up that offensive line as well. So it's going
to
be tough for him.
And you have to wonder, how are they going to respond playing at 9:30 in the morning, right?
Well.
Fake laugh. Come on, fake laugh.
It's almost like you threw a water bottle.
Dave, Cam Newton at Green Bay, he was a player who wasn't himself.
Yeah, and I thought that the Green Bay secondary would really take a hit without Sam Shields on the field, and just Cam didn't throw quite as well as he had previously. I know Kelvin had numbers. I think we're lucky to get the numbers that Kelvin actually had. Same thing with Greg Olsen. He had good numbers, too. Cam Newton left me feeling hungry.
And Jay Cutler, 9 fantasy points. That could have been Alshon Jeffrey up there, but it Bears passing game. Let's just say that.
Alshon Jeffrey would love to get 9 fantasy points after what happened to him today.
That he had 9 yards.
Yeah, this was bad. It was really bad. You know, I know the Dolphins' defense has looked good at times, and, you know, they played 3 quarters a pretty good football last week against the Packers, but they put it all together today, and it's really tough when you look at Jay Cutler. The question we got all week long, Cutler or Brady, Cutler or Brady, and we said Cutler for the most part, and
oops,
it should have been Brady,
yeah.
Unfortunately for us. So I think you look at it as, can he bounce back next week at New England?
Yeah.
Which has been a tough place to play for teams.
I'm going to say no. I think it's going to be hard for him.
Let's have a Chicago Bears-style fight on set right now. What do you think? Jamie, you told me to start Cecil Shorts today over someone.
Marcus Colston.
Over Marcus Colston.
I did.
Couldn't even remember who.
I thought it was Colston. I wasn't sure. Thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For nothing.
You got it, buddy.
Okay, that's all. We're good friends off the field. That's why we argue on the set. And a Monday night preview, Houston at Pittsburgh, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. What? On his birthday. No, I shouldn't have done that. 8:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night. Who's the star of the game?
Arian Foster.
Sean Sweesum. No, okay. Arian Foster is, but I think you're going to see Antonio Brown. All the stars are going to do what they do. It's just a matter of whether or not Ben Roethlisberger can find that second touchdown, can keep the turnovers, and can stay on his feet, because if Jadeveon Clowney plays for the Texans, along with J.J. Watt, he's going to be running for his life all over Heinz Field.
And we'll see which of the Texans' receivers helps us and disappoints us, because we haven't had a game where both were very good.
Right. Yeah. One should do well. My money's on Hopkins.
Well,
I'll take Andre.
Get the CBS Sports app, everybody, for lightning-fast scores and instant updates for today's games. It's got all the info you need to stay in the game anywhere you go. So download it now at cbssportsapp.com. Where are you going?
Spinning around.
Sunday night.
If you fall off the set,
it would be the funniest thing.
I may cry.
With my dislocated hip. And
He's mic'd into the set, too, so like things would just be flying. Oh, it would be
wires would rip. Scott Fitzgerald would kill me. It would be hilarious.
Well, that's Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Adam Azer filling in for Aaron Cerrone. Thank you all so much for watching. Marone Bergson, producer of the year. Great job tonight. Thank you for watching Fantasy Football Today post-game. We have another live show for you on Tuesday afternoon, noon Eastern. Break down that waiver wire. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.